Hi, and welcome to another episode of Melanin Mom Happy Hour Podcast. Today, I'm flying solo, doing an interview on my own. It's B-Wills, y'all, and I'm so excited to have my friend Milan with us today. Milan is a young professional living and working in the D.C. area. She is a plant lover, a great cook, a singer, and most recently, a new dog mom. How's that going, Milan?
Stressful. Stressful. But rewarding, you know.
Yeah, how long have you been a mother to Montclair now? How long has it been?
Oh. I got him in January, so what's this, June till about
six months? January? That's
wild.
I feel like it was only a couple months ago.
Yep, brought him home. I think it was January 19th, so... And he will be turning one in August, so time is moving fast.
We'll have to have a birthday party.
That's what I was thinking. There's a place I was going to ask everybody if y'all wanted to go to. It's called Bark Social. But
Oh, yeah. I think I've been there.
You have?
In D.C.? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because you can take your pets, and then they have good food and drinks for us, which is... really, who's gonna really celebrate, and he don't know no different.
That's true. Well, today we're gonna be talking about mothering by choice. I know it's a conversation that we've had personally, just being women approaching a certain age, really something that you kind of have to think about, particularly, you know, if you don't have a partner at the moment. And don't know if a special someone is going to come into your life at some point, but like you do maybe want to be a parent. And so do you wait around, you know, for a partner? What approaches do you take to becoming a parent? Do you adopt? Do you use a donor? So many questions. So we're going to dive into it. But my first question to you is, I mean, we haven't talked about it in a while. Do you want to be a mom?
Yeah, I have a very strong want to be a mother. What may have changed since we last talked about it is the avenue in which I want to become a mother. It hasn't fully changed, but I've been exploring other options, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, sure. can you tell me about... maybe the first time you were, or even just like, it may not necessarily be the first time, but just some of your early memories of like thinking about motherhood, being a parent, and what that looks like. I mean, I think most, I'm not going to say all, but most little girls think about like their wedding, and you think about like who you're going to be when you grow up. But do you recall like your early memories of like, yeah, I'm gonna be, you know, when I'm 25, I'm gonna be a mom? Because that's, I feel like what y'all think is like, oh, by 25, I'm gonna be rich and own a house and all these things.
Definitely thought I would be in a different place by now. But yeah, you're right. I was the typical little girl who wanted, you know, marriage, kids, the whole nine yards. I'm so extra that I even have a list of baby names in my phone. I've been adding to since the last time we talked about this. I have a Tumblr, which I know is not, it makes me sound so old, but I do have a Tumblr dedicated to my wedding, like inspiration photos, everything, you know, what I want my ring to look like. It's always been something I've wanted. But as far as motherhood specifically, I thought I would have my first child by 26. That's just what I thought. And now at almost 35, I would thought I had a couple of them by now, you know? and, you know, I always thought that I would do things, you know, I'm holding up air quotes, but like the right way, you know, marriage and kids. I never really wanted to be a single mother. And that's something that I still kind of struggle with at times, but I had to come, once I reached a certain age, I was just like, which was like my late 20s, I was kind of just started thinking about options and weighing how important it was for me to be a mother. Mm-hmm. And I realized, well, I came to the conclusion that I could not have kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. It's very important to me. And I feel like you can find love later, but because we are women and we do have that clock,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to miss my chance for having a child. Even if I didn't have the child biologically, on the other side, I don't want to be old having a kid, you know, mm-hmm. I want to be able to play with them and be there for them through all their milestones and have some type of connection or understanding with their generation. I don't want to be so far removed that it doesn't make sense, you know? So that's kind of my thinking.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I do wonder, I've never really talked to a man about their want or desire to be a parent. But I would be interested in hearing their side of it, you know, being people who don't have that timeline, right, to like mm-hmm. have their own child. Because, I mean, of course, you know, you could adopt and there's no time limit on that. But yeah, if you do want to have your own child that comes, you know, physically from you as a woman, right, you do kind of have to start. And it is right around that, like, late 20s time frame that you're kind of like, oh, wait a minute, like,
yeah,
what steps am I going to put in place if, you know, I do want to have a kid. But I am interested to know, as you do get older, and mm-hmm. you maybe start to get out of your 20s, I mean, aside from maybe the pressure you put on yourself, if any, to have a kid, do you feel any pressure outside of yourself to have kids? Like, do you feel like your parents start to look at you and like, hey, we want grandkids? I don't know if that's the case for you. I know on my end I felt that, and I can talk about that, but have you felt that?
So not before, but more recently I have. My parents have had little conversations with me, or I made a comment to my father about dating and he was like, oh, is that why I don't have any grandkids? So, you know, they don't harp on it, but it's been coming up in conversation. Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel it from some of my friends too. Like one of my good girlfriends, we've been friends since kindergarten, and she has two little ones, and she's like, you know, they need cousins, you know, she oh. makes the comments and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know she's not doing it in a malicious way, but I think she wants her kids to have a core friendship like we did. You know, we grew up together and we're still friends, and I understand that. Like, you know, I'm an only child, so when I do have kids, my friends' kids will be their cousins and pseudo siblings mm-hmm. and stuff, so I get it. So, you know, we joke around about that a lot, but yeah, I don't really, other than that, it's kind of just like my own pressures, societal pressures, maybe even some cultural pressures, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
My
brother had his first kid, and he's my little brother. We're 6 mm-hmm. years apart. So I have a nephew now. And it was kind of like, on my end, a little bit of a relief. It's like, okay, great. Like, you went and had a kid, like, you know. And I know my dad really was like looking for grandkids, and I remember he said, he was like, yeah, I was getting worried. I was like thinking like maybe y'all weren't gonna have kids, I wasn't gonna be a grandparent. So I think there was kind of relief all around when my nephew came into the world, which is a weird feeling. But getting back to, sorry,
no, I was gonna just comment on that. I think, you know, my mother told me one time, she was like, sometimes I have to sit here and realize that my bloodline may end here. So maybe that's the type of feeling that they have.
But let's talk about it, because that is such a, it is this idea that we have of like ending bloodlines or continuing the bloodline and continuing the family, you know, the family name and all of that. And it's very interesting because I get it. You know, we're both fans of The Read, the podcast, and it's something that comes up.
You better send Kid Fury.
Yes, Kid Fury, we're thinking about you. But it's something that they talk about, you know, when listeners write in and they're like, you know, my partner and I don't want to have kids, but our parents like really want it to happen. And they fear that the bloodline is going to end. And, you know, some things that they have said is like, they just alluded to that idea of being ridiculous. And I get what they're saying, but I also understand, like, yeah, we're regular people, but it also doesn't mean like we don't have a place in history, or like to think that what your grandparents and your parents worked really hard just for that to die out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sorry if you hear my child in the background. He's my first child.
He's part of the conversation too.
he's barking at the door. Sorry.
But yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation to have. I mean, is it a ridiculous notion to like expect that, you know, we should continue, like you were saying, our bloodline or our family name? Like, is that really a big deal? I don't know. I kind of feel like it is. I wouldn't want, you know, I don't think it could ever happen because my family, particularly on my mom's side, is huge. But I wouldn't want that to die out. I don't think that's ridiculous to think about.
I mean, both sides of my family are pretty small. And I mean, my aunt on my mother's side has a child, but my father's side, there's really no one to carry on his name because he didn't have any boys. My uncles didn't have boys. Well, one of them doesn't have kids at all. The other one had three girls. So it's like, I can see, you know, the way they feel. I always said if I did end up having a child of my own, I will make sure they had, you know, of course my last name was there on my own, so that, you know, my father's name will carry. But I can see why they would feel that way. But then, you know, our generation tends to look at children differently, especially given the ways of the world right now, you know, with climate change and all of the laws they are trying to take away or add. The list goes on. We tend to look at having kids differently. I do have a good friend who pretty much changed her mind. Like, she wanted kids very bad. And then she was just like, do I really want to bring them into this world? So that's
That's a huge thing to think about. I just joked with a friend the other day and said they were talking about having kids. And I offhandedly said, well, they'll be the last generation anyway. So, which is a very dark and maybe mean thing to say, but like, I don't know. I mean, like you said, there are a lot of things happening in the world, a lot of laws being passed, you know, fires happening. It's just, you know, it is something to consider. If you're going to bring a life into this world, they're going to take on the things of the world. So, a very good point. So, I've mentioned that we have had this conversation, but what is a conversation that you've had, like, with your other friends? Because, I mean, I know some of your friends, not all of them, but you do have a good number of friends who don't have kids. You have some who do. Talk to me a little bit about what that conversation is and how it differs between the friends who do have kids and those who don't.
The conversation about what, having them?
Mm-hmm. About you having them, yeah.
About me having them. Mm-hmm. So my friends that have kids, they're kind of just like, it will happen when it's supposed to, like, kind of thing. And then, you know, like I said, I already mentioned one of my friends. She's like, well, you know, I would love some nieces and nephews, you know, kind of thing. But I will say across the board, none of my friends are really pressuring me. You know, they're kind of just like a listening ear when I explain how I feel about it. They seem to be very supportive of it. The fact that I want to have kids and that I may very well be having them on my own. They seem very supportive and, you know, seem come off as if they will be that community that I will need. You know, that's the type of conversation and support that I'm receiving from my friends at this moment, you know. And most of my friends I've had for a very long time. So I would think that they would hold true to the, you know, to what they're saying. I do know that I hear from a lot of people that, you know, the true colors of your friends come out with marriage and kids and stuff. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time, but I don't know. I have really curated a group of friends that I really do think are, you know, true to who they say they are down for me. Most of them have been there for me through a lot of the difficult things and continue to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do think I have my community. And again, it kind of comes with being an only child. You kind of cultivate your family, you know?
Well, I ask because in preparing for this, I was reading articles and stories from other women who chose to be single mothers. And, you know, the age-old idea of it takes a village to raise a child, especially, again, we're talking about single motherhood by choice, and you may not necessarily have a partner, at least when you start out on this journey. So I ask about friends because they would be your village, right? And I mean, yeah, I guess it sounds like you would expect for them to play a role in this process with you.
To an extent, yes, because at the end of the day, I don't have a child for someone else to take care of. Mm-hmm. But I do understand that there are going to be times where I'm going to need assistance, or even something as small as making sure that the kids are socialized, like that comes in with your friends and their kids, or, you know, if you have a larger family and their kids, you know. Mm-hmm. I will be a little more specific because I hope I'm not jumping the gun because we haven't really talked about this yet. One thing that I really share with one of my friends is when it comes to choosing the sperm donor route, it's very difficult to find Black and Latino donors. And that's what I would be looking for as a Panamanian woman. So I have to come to a realization that my donor may have to be of a different race or ethnicity. Mm-hmm. And for me, culture is very important. Mm-hmm. And teaching my child my culture. So if I were to find a donor that's different than I am, how can I teach them that, you know, especially if it's a visible difference, you know, how can I teach them that? Because they're going to look different than me. And with my good friend, she's Filipino. You know, she says, we'll get a Filipino donor. And, you know, I'm sure some of it's just like, because I'm, you know, I'm Filipino, like I want my niece and nephew to be Filipino. But also I realized if I had a child that's half Filipino, I can drop them off at her house. I can drop them off at her parents' house and they can learn that part of their culture, mm-hmm. which I think is important. I don't think people think about that when adopting kids or choosing donors, that part of their rearing is very important, because there's things that's going to happen to them throughout their lives that knowing that culture will make them feel stronger in themselves, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Well, let's back up for a second and talk about, so you're thinking about going the donor route, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about how maybe you arrived at that decision, or was it just sort of like, duh, of course that's the way I'm gonna go? Or was that a process in sort of like going through all of your options? Did you
arrive? So when I first started researching being a single mother by choice, I guess for me it was like, okay, sperm. Like that's just what I thought. Like, you gotta get sperm. You know, go to the sperm bank. That's what I thought. That was my first thought. And so, like you, I started reading a lot of articles. I actually joined a Facebook group that I'm still a part of. It has so much information in that group. Watching YouTube videos, if I can find them, when there's not that many single moms by choice on YouTube. But especially Black ones. But, you know, I try to do as much research as I can, because that's the type of person that I research everything before doing it. And I think part of my want to do it that way as well is because I want to experience carrying a child. I'm not opposed to adopting, but I just wanted to experience carrying a child at least once or twice, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, that answers your question. I keep going off on a tangent.
No, it definitely does. And yeah, it brings up some other good points as well, particularly what you said about wanting to carry a child. That stood out to me only because I've always said, like, as early as I can remember, I've never wanted to, not never wanted to, but I was always squeamish about, like, carrying a kid. It was just always so weird to me, and I don't like pain, so, like,
yeah.
The prospect of, like, giving birth to a child, I was like, no, thank you. But I very much want to have, like, a kid who shares my DNA that might look like me, you know. So it's a conflict, maybe, of interest of sorts.
So, you know how earlier I was saying how, like, the process of becoming a single mom may have changed since we last talked about it. It's been really recent. Within the last week or two or so, maybe a month, I don't know how long, mm-hmm. I've been researching adoption and or even fostering into mm-hmm. adoption. Mm-hmm. Only because the more I think about carrying a child, the more I think about how scary it's going to be pregnant in the house by myself.
Interesting. It's not something
I think about,
specifically thought about, but yeah, go ahead.
It could be my anxiety speaking. I could be a little paranoid. I don't know, you know, hypochondriac, but I think about women who have complications when they're pregnant. A lot of women in my family have had them. I was born because of a complication, you know. Mm-hmm. I think about just small stuff, like if I get a craving, who's gonna go get XYZ in the middle of the night for me, you know?
Yeah.
Who's gonna rub my feet? Who's gonna, you know, all those things. And that part becomes a little sad for me. You know, mm-hmm. that part makes me really go back to wanting a partner before having a child. And that makes it a little scary. So I'm not saying I don't want to carry. I do have a want to carry. But I guess right now I'm gauging how much of my fears are going to, you know, control which option I take. Also, of course, there's going to be medical things that kind of steers which option you can really take, which is very important if you're going to choose to do this. Like, you need to find out what your fertility is, if you have any issues and XYZ, because the cost can start racking up, or you may not be able to do it at all. So you have to look into those. And I mean, I've been doing that since I first started thinking about this, I think in my late 20s, so probably around 28, I think was the first time I went to the doctor and told her what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And she ran some tests just to see where I was, where my fertility was. And she just told me, whenever you make the decision to do it, you need to go get tested again closer to that. And, you know, and they told me which age it's safer. Apparently after 35, it becomes dangerous. You're considered a geriatric pregnancy. I'm like, geriatric for 35?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a phrase I've heard before. Yeah. And it is like, what do you mean geriatric? Like, what?
Yeah. So I turned 35 in a few days, and earlier this year, because I knew I was coming up on that, I went and got retested, and luckily my fertility levels are good. But I found out I have fibroids, which is a whole nother ballgame.
Another hurdle, yeah.
Yeah. So apparently I have to get those removed before trying to conceive, which is pushing my timeline back, along with some other things. But so now I'm looking at maybe 26. I mean, 26. I wish I was 26. 36. 36 yeah. To attempt conceiving, but... It's a lot of complexities with trying to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, So you had a conversation with your doctor in your late 20s. I'm curious about, I mean, you just spoke on it a little bit, but elaborate for me a little bit about how that conversation went. I mean, when you brought it up, did you say, you know, I am thinking about motherhood, becoming a mom, having a baby? Did you mention the single part of it, like not having a partner? And if so, like, what was your physician's reaction to that?
Okay, I'm trying to remember because this was a while ago. I believe I just approached it just very frankly. I just told her, like, I'm 28. I've always wanted children. I don't really have the best luck in the dating arena, and I want to know what my options are. I was like, I do have an understanding that after a certain age, like, you know, our egg reserves deplete, and like, I have a full understanding of how our bodies work as a woman. So I just kind of laid it out there, and I just said, I just want to know where I am, what my options are. I'm starting my research, and what can you tell me? Mm-hmm. So she said, honestly, I think you're at a good age to be thinking about those things. She said, I've had girls much younger come in and say this, and she kind of tells them, like, you need to relax. But
girl,
like, chill, you got a time. But she was like, you're coming up on 30. Like, I can understand those types of thinking. She ran, I can't remember the name of the test, but it's a test that tells you what your egg reserves are. Mm-hmm. And then she gave me information of where to go when I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And she also told me, like, she's like, when you're ready, you're going to have to get some other tests done. But if you're completely healthy, she was like, to be honest with you, I would tell you just to buy the sperm and inseminate yourself at home. Mm-hmm. She was like, and to be more elaborate about it, it's essentially just getting like a menstrual cup, putting the sperm in there and inserting it. Of course, knowing when your ovulation is and stuff like that.
Okay.
She was saying, because if you don't need medical help and you're healthy, just do it like that. If you need medical help, that's when the price starts racking up. Because at the time she told me to buy sperm, it's like $1,500. Mm-hmm. But if you need, you know, to go into IVF where they have to give you medication and you need to be, you know, to get pregnant, they have to, you know, medically assist you, mm-hmm. aside from the medication, meaning like in the office and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's when the price starts racking up. Mm-hmm. So that's what she told me. And I actually know someone who got pregnant like that, by using the menstrual cup. She got pregnant the very first time they tried, so it's possible. So yeah, so that's the information she kind of gave me.
Yeah, and you're bringing up some points that I did want to hit on, which are costs, right? Because insurance can be funny, they can be acting funny. But yeah, I guess I didn't realize how simple it could be. I mean, I should, because, you know, people get pregnant every day, you know. People get pregnant every day, B. But yeah, that it could be that simple, and that process of doing it, you know, like you said, if you are healthy, the process of just doing it at home on your own would sort of reduce those costs, as opposed to maybe if there were other complications where you needed medical assistance, then yeah, that's so interesting.
I mean, and there's lots of avenues of how you can get sperm. Personally, I'd rather go to a reputable bank, but there's websites that people go on and they just
black market map. Sperm.
Essentially, they just match and do it like that. But personally, I would rather go through a bank, because I want to make sure that the sperm is clean and healthy, and that our DNA matches, so we don't have any other complications, mm-hmm. when it comes to the child. Because unfortunately, I think you should let your child regardless of how they come out, but unfortunately all of those expenses would be on my pocket if the child is born with complications. Mm-hmm. And I know some of that stuff you can't avoid, but I know also some of the stuff is genetic. So if I can avoid them from the beginning, it would be nice. You know, it would be nice.
Well, that leads me into another question. Again, you touched on it a little bit already, but in choosing a donor, well, one, I'm curious, was there ever anyone in your life, like a friend that you ever had a conversation with about, like, maybe let's go half on a little one?
This is just funny because I'm like, you know, you're asking this question because you know, but
well, maybe not necessarily that person, but yeah, I mean, talk about it. Maybe there was somebody else, or like, was that ever a serious consideration? Because it is a joke amongst us, but
yes, there is a joke amongst us. Though I think he might be slightly dead ass about it.
I think so.
But no, I've never really sat down with someone. I have a newer friend who we were just talking about all of this, and he was like, "You can have my sperm." He was like, "I'm not doing nothing with that. I don't want no kids.
I'm not doing nothing." You know,
you said what?
He said, "I'm not doing nothing with it."
Yeah, he said at this point in his life, he does not have a want for children. And you know, I'm assuming his partner doesn't either, so he's just like, you can have it. He's like, I'll show up on Christmas with some gifts or something. Like, you know, I'm just like, okay, like, you know, I pinned it in the back of my mind, you know.
Yeah.
I've from being in that Facebook group and reading a lot as well, I've heard a lot of stories about having a known donor versus a non-known donor, and then also the different types of known donors, because you can have a known donor through a sperm bank because they give you their information, but also there's a difference between that and like it being a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've heard horror stories of like them coming back and trying to take the kid and all that type of stuff. Yeah, so it makes me a little nervous to do that. I'm like, we're gonna sign some papers. Like, we need some papers. I need a lawyer here, because I don't need you popping back up and being like, oh, well, I want to take my child. Mm-hmm. There's a documentary on, I don't remember the name of it, but it's on HBO Max, where a lesbian couple did that. And they still involved the men in the kids' lives. Like, they would have them come around, like, in the summertime. They would spend time. But it started getting really weird and awkward. And I think at one point, one of the men tried to take the kids. It was crazy. Yeah. I wish I remember the name of it. I guess when we're done, I can look it up and text it to you. But yeah, I don't want them type of problems. I feel like one of the things that helped me decide about being a single mom is just like not having to deal with the baby daddy drama. It's like, mm-hmm. I know, like, I made the conscious decision to do this on my own. It's not a case of my partner decided to dip at the last minute. Now I have to deal with my emotions on top of this child, you know. I kind of like the fact that I have control in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why using a donor that I physically know is kind of sketchy for me. But at least my donor will be Black. You know. Hey, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talked about some of the factors that you, I guess, are looking for. I mean, I don't know. You know, I haven't done as much research as you have, or are as experienced in this as you are. But, you know, in my mind, I imagine essentially a catalog or a binder of sorts of just like profiles that you're flipping through. Or maybe it's like Tinder and it's online and you're just kind of swiping left or right. But like, I mean, what, aside from race and ethnicity, are there other factors that you're considering looking into?
So I haven't gone that deep into that because I guess I'm not in that step.
Yeah, sure.
But there has been times where I've gotten curious and just gone on the websites, you know, sperm bank websites, and my cousin and I were kind of scrolling ourselves, just, you know, looking. And they do, some of them have baby pictures, so you can kind of have an idea of what they look like. I would prefer a site that has adult pictures too, because the way people look like as babies don't always
see
what they look like.
They don't grow into them features all that well.
At all. and then a lot of them include their educational backgrounds, their interests, you know, all those type of things. And I'm now wondering if that's important, because I guess, you know, I mean, not I guess, I know that the child will get traits. You know, there's some traits that are just passed through DNA, not just, you know, from being in front of the person, or, you know, behavioral traits. So I'm now thinking of that. It's like, okay, do I want to make sure that my donor was well educated or versed in let's say music, for example, because those are things that are important to me. The arts are important to me. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe I want somebody who's more active than I was, like, you know, like physically active, because there's a chance that my child may be into sports, mm-hmm. or whatever, or, you know, all those type of things go through your mind. And sometimes to me, it feels a little superficial, because it's like, oh, well, they're thin, so my child doesn't have to worry about being fat like me, you know? Huh?
Or tall.
Yeah. All those type of things. It starts feeling a tad bit superficial. Mm-hmm, it's like, ooh, they have beautiful eyes. My kid might have color eyes. Like, you know, it's just, you know. And I go back and forth about that, because that's not the most important thing. What's important is the child being healthy. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, our society is really based on looks and things like that. How you look, your phenotypes do benefit you, mm-hmm. Based on our society. So that does play a role. Which is why I go back and forth about having a mixed child, because people fetishize mixed people. And I think it's weird to just be like, I want a mixed baby. Like, I think that's strange. If it happens, cool. But I'm not going to set out to do that. Like, that part is a little weird to me. But then I realized, again, because of the supply, that might be my only option, you know. So it's a lot of thoughts that goes into it. And I know my mom says you overthink everything, but I'm like, I'm bringing a life into this world. Like, to me, I need to overthink everything. I need to be able to educate them on all the things that comes with being who they are. Mm-hmm. And not just who they are, who other people are. I think it's important for them to understand everything. I want a well-rounded child, essentially. A child that accepts everyone for who they are. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun to put into it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the single part of single mothering by choice. No, because you... I mean, at some point you realize when you're out here in the world dating that, like, the older you get, the harder it is to avoid things like the person you're dating having children already, right? But what are your thoughts on, or have you thought about the prospect of, like, you don't have a partner now. Well, first let me ask you what your thoughts are on this idea that, like, a child needs a two-parent household. Do you feel like that is true or no?
I feel like it is, but it isn't. And only because I feel like if you're a one-person household and you have a big enough village, your child will get what they're missing from having one person and another person in the house all the time. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's important for them to be exposed to other people than just you. Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel like having another person in the household helps balance out certain aspects. Like, for example, I grew up in with a single parent. My mother was very strict. And I feel like if my father was in the home, it would have been a little more balanced, mm-hmm. because he's not as strict. Mm-hmm. So I may have been able to, and this is when I get too deep into my childhood, but,
no, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, there's certain things that I may have been more allotted to do, mm-hmm. or allowed to do, or explore certain aspects of myself, mm-hmm. more had my father been in the home, mm-hmm. to balance out the control and the strictness of my mother, if that makes sense.
Right.
But in that aspect, I say, yes, I feel like it should be a two-parent household. But again, if you have enough, a big enough village around you, I think it will supply them with what they need. Because another reason why I also feel like another person too, and that other stuff aside, is there's times where you're just tired and you can't give the child what they need at that moment. Sometimes the kid needs affection or something like that, but you're so spent, you're not seeing that. And so if there's another person around, that other person could give the child, you know, that. So
yeah. And getting back to, I think the question I was going to ask you, that dating and then the process of becoming a parent, right? They're parallel things, but also two things that will meet each other at some point. They'll cross and interact, which is, you know, you don't necessarily have a committed partner now, but you do want to become a parent. So you're doing that process, but maybe you are still dating, you know, that comes up. Or even before that, where, you know, you're dating and you know you want to be a parent, and that's a conversation you have to have with your, with the person that you're dating, maybe become your potential partner. So how do you navigate that, and how do you feel like you might navigate the process of dating, and if you do have a child,
that dating while pregnant, or dating while pregnant, or dating?
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know that you would be dating while you are pregnant, but like maybe if you're dating while you're going through the process of it, like putting the steps in place, you know. But then also say it's a success and you do have this child, like what is, you know, that gonna, what is dating with a child gonna look like for you?
Yeah. I have thought about this. I personally feel like I probably won't date while going through the process. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen a lot of this happen, and I know myself as well, where you meet somebody new, so you keep postponing what you want to do. But who says it's going to work?
Mm-hmm.
You postpone and be like, oh, you know, I'm really into this person, and mm-hmm. we're going to work. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby together, but then it don't work out. And then you're another year behind on what you want to do, or, you know, whatever. So I personally feel like I probably won't date once I decide I want to start the process. Mm-hmm. Same thing with pregnancy. Like, everyone's heard it. People fetishize pregnant women, and that's weird to me. So I won't be dating while I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
I hear stories of people finding partners while they're pregnant, and they stay, you know, mm-hmm. together. But I just know my luck. I don't know.
Yeah.
But dating as a parent, I guess I would just use what I learned as being a child in that situation. You know, again, mm-hmm. my parents were divorced when I was very young. So mm-hmm. I had step parents, you know, things like that. And I feel like my parents both did a wonderful job of not having a rotating door. Mm-hmm. I only saw a handful of people that they dated. And I do understand that it presents more challenges having a child while dating, because you also, not only are you filtering this person for yourself and your well-being, but you also have to filter the person for your child's well-being, because, you know, we've all heard the horror stories of abuse on different levels, you know, not just, you know, sexual abuse, but there's mental and verbal abuse, physical abuse, you know, because some people do not treat other people's children good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you definitely have to think about. So I think as challenging as it is dating now, it's going to be even more challenging once I have mm-hmm. my little ones, because I do want more than one child. But once I have my kids, so it's definitely something.
Yeah.
Just more stuff to worry about.
Wow, yeah, you brought up a lot of things that I really hadn't considered before having this conversation, so I'm really happy that we did this. Is there anything else that you wanted to sort of touch on or point out? Or
I'm trying to think, because I get to talking and I just be saying
it. Yeah.
I just, I don't know. I think it's a process that's going to be challenging. It's going to be filled with ups and downs. And it's probably going to be very lonely at times. But in the end, from what I hear from most mothers, single or not, that is very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely something I want. But, you know, like I said, there's lots of challenges and things to think about, even finances. Like, am I, you know, financially able to bring a life around and take care of them? Because it's expensive as it is to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I went grocery shopping the other day, and why are my groceries $200? Like, I don't understand. I used to be able to buy groceries for $100 and be good for, like, a minute.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand. So it's like, and then the formula shortage, and, you know, I don't know, there's no way to know if you're going to be able to breastfeed or not, you know, and it's just a lot. But it's something I want. I very much want children.
Yeah.
So,
well,
do your research.
For sure. Do your research. I mean, having a child, like I said earlier, bringing a child into the world means that child taking on the things of the world, good and bad, because there is a lot of good. But there also, it is burdensome. It's hard. It's not easy, but I think that you can do it. Did you have another point?
Yes. I just thought about something that I saw come up a lot, and this conversation actually came up with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all gonna be single moms by choice, tell your kids how they were conceived. Don't keep that from them. Like, I see so many there's so many horror stories of kids finding out later on that they were either adopted or were donor conceived, and like hating their parents. Like, be upfront with them and honest with them about how they were conceived. They have tons of books that are age appropriate and things like that, that you can teach your child how they were conceived, because keeping family secrets like that always does a number. It always, I mean, I've been witness to some of it in my own family. Like, just be upfront. That's all I want to say. Yeah.
Well, this was a great conversation for me, and I thank you for sharing and being open about your journey with it. And maybe we'll revisit when you're a little further down the road. Yeah, we'll see. But I think that wraps it up for us, unless you have one last point.
No, I don't. But this was fun. Like, I appreciate you bringing me on and letting me run my mouth. Like,
yeah, of course. Thank you for doing it. I'm glad we were able to do it. But yeah, as we always say here, follow us on Instagram, hit up our email if you have questions, or if you just want to give us a word of encouragement, it is melaninmompodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, as we always say, drink your water, take your vitamins, mind the distance. Peace.